Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This spring I'm spending quite a lot of time in the UK, and it's wonderful to be out traveling again. You know, it's such a dilemma for me because I love traveling. I get to meet new people, see new places, and revisit the old. And, you know, it brings back memories and just dreams about what I wanted to do 10 years ago or 20 years ago or even today. And I've been doing that a lot here in the UK. I started in Wales and then went to a place near London and then went to Norfolk. And then now I'm down in Somerset. So I've been dashing around. And in the meantime, I spent a weekend in London. And I went to a group, a circle that there were quite a few Reiki people invited. We were talking about the Reiki home, and I met this woman there who just instantly I wanted to interview because she just glowed. And her name is Lily McCallum, and we've just met, and I'm really thankful we did because she has a wonderful and very moving Reiki story, which you are going to hear in just a few minutes. So, Lizzie, welcome to the show, and thank you very much for taking this time.
Thank you very much, Phyllis. It's just a real honor to finally get the opportunity to meet you and talk as well. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's good.
Great. Right. So let's just start with your Reiki story. I know that you were really young and you had some interesting health issues. And if you want to just start back then, that would be great. And I'll just follow along.
Cool. Well, I was diagnosed with cancer when I was 14, and at the time, I was just kind of really in like teenage wild rebel mode. So I wasn't really open to anything alternative. So I spent a year having like conventional treatment. I had chemotherapy, I had an operation, I had radiotherapy. And by the end of that, the doctors kind of assured me that it wasn't going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of spent a couple of years in recovery and then kind of getting everything back to normal. And then when I was 18, in a routine checkup, they discovered that it had returned. So I was pretty disillusioned with the fact that they kind of said that that wasn't necessarily going to be the case. So I kind of had less trust than I did initially. So I was therefore open to more kind of alternatives. But initially, when we started to explore that as an option, it was more to support the treatment that they'd suggested that I had, which mm-hmm. was more intensive chemotherapy and another operation, et cetera, et cetera. And so I went up to a cancer care centre in Bristol, which is still running, which is the most incredible place. And they introduced me to lots of different alternatives. It was like a vegan diet and it's run by doctors. So it's kind of, you just get a lot of information and a lot of knowledge. And yeah, the things that they had on offer, I didn't really engage with a lot of them. I was still kind of, you know, I was just really young. So, but the thing that I had that I think really resonated with me was the Reiki. And it wasn't hugely eventful, but I think it just kind of struck a chord and there was like a degree of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I don't know if I really want to do the whole vegan thing, but I'm up for trying Reiki. So that was kind of where I was at the time. And, you know, and I did, you know, I did do other things. I did change my diet and we started to eat organic before it was kind of cool and trendy. And, you know, that we kind of implemented different things. But the Reiki was the thing that I really went went into. And so when I got back to London, I found a practitioner and I started having treatments twice a week. And it was just a really kind of dramatic and radical transformational period, because I wasn't very switched on at the time. It was just so intense what I was experiencing, kind of mentally and emotionally. I was quite disconnected. And the Reiki just kind of plugged me back into everything. It was just incredible. And I've got, I have a diary entry at, before and sort of 6 months later, and it's, completely different, and just realizations and, waking up to kind of different possibilities. And it was just really, it was just incredible.
I don't know if this is too private a question for you to respond to, but do you have some kind of example of, a more specific example? Because it just sounds like there was this explosion in your life and an opening that happened with Reiki. And sometimes when people say that, I'm interested to know, what was that really about? The way that you saw the world was different, or?
Yeah, it just completely shifted. It was I was looking at this diary and it's boys and clothes and shopping and just kind of real teenage stuff. And then it's what's the universe about and why are we here? And, it's just
oh, wow.
just completely different. It just really, it opened my mind. It opened my creativity. It just kind of connected me into my emotions, which wasn't necessarily hugely comfortable a lot of the time. Right. But it was I had a sense of possibilities that I never perceived was possible before. So it was it was just the world opened up and I was wow, what is this? And that just kind of accentuated when I had my initiation for my first degree, because I wasn't, I was just kind of, the woman that I was having healing with at the time, she was oh, I think you might become a healer. And I was that is just not where I see my life going at all.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's not my agenda. And but when she suggested, she was it would be really good for you to be able to treat yourself. And by that point, I was just completely hooked on the Reiki. I just was loving the way that it was making me feel. And I just felt much more relaxed, much more in tune, much more kind of in flow, really. So when I took my first initiation, it was just quite incredible. I think because I had quite a lot of Reiki beforehand, it was just like being switched on. So I just remember really vividly the sensations in my hands. And from that point on, I was wow, this is it. This is the way forward.
That's wonderful. How old were you when you were initiated?
18.
You were still 18.
Huh? Yeah.
And did you talk about this with your friends?
Some of them kind of got it. Some of them thought it was quite strange. Some of them, it's really interesting now because most of my close friends have Reiki.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they've been on the journey. But I have a really close friend and we ended up, she had different kind of health issues. And so she kind of came to the Reiki as well. So we did a lot of our journey kind of in parallel. So that was a big support because
wow,
we kind of had a similar, we just had a similar paradigm, which was really different to a lot of the other people that we were kind of hanging out with at the time.
Right.
Yeah. So that's amazing. And that's been just an incredible support. I think we've sort of done that for each other in a lot of ways.
Right.
Yeah.
And then how long did you practice before you ended up taking second degree?
It was about a year later. So I kind of got to the point where yeah, I was just using it a lot all the time whenever I possibly could. And then it got to the point where I was like, I didn't feel like I was moving forward at the same rate, I think, because it had just been such a kind of expansion.
Yeah.
So I said to my master trippery done, what do you think? I'm starting to feel slightly stagnant again. And she suggested doing the Reiki too. And then I took my Reiki too, which
wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. Wonderful. And then what happened? You know, your what happened with your cancer then?
I made a decision that I wasn't going to have the treatment that they suggested. So I think because I just had that quite sort of, I was just quite disillusioned with the whole kind of process. I was absolutely sick and tired of medical intervention. I just felt really, I'd just been through so many intensive medical processes. I was like, I just want my body back. And with the Reiki, it just felt so congruent. It was like, I knew, I was like, this is healing me. So this just makes sense. Whereas, I had the operation, but I didn't have the chemotherapy because at the time what they were suggesting was, and it was going to make me really ill as well. So, and I was like, I wasn't actually particularly, you know, physically I was actually okay. It was just the fact that they discovered it in this routine checkup. So it was like, it just didn't really make sense for me to go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think because I had such a paradigm shift in my understanding as well, in terms of, you know, the kind of multifaceted layers of illness and how it manifests in the physical body, and kind of energy relationship between, you know, my emotions and my mental health and my physical body. And, you know, so I was just in the process of having that kind of shift in consciousness. So, and understanding the layers, the emotional layers behind what it was that I'd experienced. And I just sort of was quite ready to explore that rather than just having that kind of purely physical intervention.
Was that a hard decision for your parents?
Yeah. It was just a really tricky time. And my mum was really supportive, and I think she understood because the chemotherapy regime that I'd had before was so intensive. Mm-hmm. I think she understood that it was probably, you know, she was just like, you know, it's your decision. So it was more, I think it was difficult for them, and but I was kind of given the space to take that position of my own kind of personal empowerment, in a way of actually this is what I want, and this is what I want for my life, and this is what I want for my body. So that was quite a big shift to take forward at that age. I think that was more, it was like kind of coming into that space. Yeah.
Wow, what a huge decision to do in kind of this period of emancipation.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for your parents that they were willing to set their own fears and stuff and concerns aside and let you make your decision for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, my mom is absolutely incredible. She was just a complete, you know, rock through the whole process. So I'm just, I'm massively, massively grateful to her for everything.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So I have no idea how old you are, because everybody under 50 is young for me. So how long ago was all this?
About 13 years ago. I'm 32 now. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great. And so eventually you became a master. So what happened in your life between then and now? I mean, I know that you're a Reiki master, and I'm just wondering, where did this all lead? I mean, you went through this treatment process, and how long did you get regular treatments? And then How did you decide that it was enough?
I had the operation, and then I had like a really brief period of radiotherapy. So I think it was like maybe like a week or two. It wasn't very much at all. And then I just, yeah, and then I just stopped it.
And then you kept having Reiki treatments?
Yeah, I had Reiki treatments regularly for a good couple of years. Like, I mean, I still have Reiki treatments regularly, but I mean, like, intensively, so at least once a week.
You're right.
So yeah, so I carried that on, and then yeah, I mean, I've done loads of other stuff. So, you know, I was having homeopathy and having like shiatsu and like
Wow.
different kinds of treatments. It acupuncture, it Reiki was the thing that opened the door to lots of other forms of energy healing. And so but during that period, initially it was primarily I was using Reiki and homeopathy, yeah, in conjunction with each other. So
Great. Great. So you're cancer-free now? Wonderful.
yeah, no, it's just amazing. It just feels slightly like another lifetime,
Right. That's good. I
yeah.
have that feeling myself. I've had several lifetimes in this one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
Amazing.
great.
So yeah, so after that, yeah, when I got well again, I went to drama school and I studied. I think the Reiki really opened like lots of creative doors for me. So I was kind of already on that path as well, but it just really kind of, yeah, it opened that for me much more deeply. So I was writing and studying and just kind of going down the kind of theatre drama route. And now what I feel like is that that's merged a lot with my kind of holistic understanding of how we as individuals function in the world. And so it's kind of like I sort of run them symbiotically in the stuff that I teach. So I teach Reiki, but I also teach like creativity and teach people how to work with their creative energy and kind of get in the zone and that
Right.
kind of stuff.
Get in the zone.
Get in the zone.
Okay, can you help me with this?
Just get in the flow, you know. I think that with the you know, when we work with the Reiki energy, it's such an opportunity to open into the flow of the universal energy, and I think that that has such an opportunity to open doors for people into themselves and, you know, into that inner personal journey, but also into how they express that creatively in the physical world. So I think just kind of understanding how both of those function in tandem is quite a fascinating exploration for me. So yeah, it's just understanding the Reiki is like a baseline spiritual discipline for, yeah, just for exploring the self and just exploring what it is, you know, our capacity for creation.
So, when you say you have creative, what was it? A creative expression workshops. What is the creative expression? Is it through drama and movement and voice, or?
Yeah, we use some drama techniques, but we also use like creative writing techniques and like visual art techniques as well. So it's kind of taking people on like a personal development exploration journey.
It sounds like it's like more than a weekend. Do you do it over a period of time? I'm just, interested in your program and
Yeah, we do. I mean, we do different stuff. So some of them will be just weekends, some of them are introductions. Sometimes, you know, we'll work with people over a longer period of time. So sometimes we run like intensives, and it just kind of depends, really. A lot of the stuff we do is kind of tailored to different people who want to access the work as well.
Right. And these people, are a lot of them young like you?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting way to kind of be able to tap into our generation. Because, you know, it's, yeah, it's just how to kind of communicate the benefits of living in this way, I think, to our generation. You know, I think a lot of people are just very, very attached to the material, and it's difficult to explain to them, you know, the benefits of having, you know, this incredible kind of, like, spiritual experience whilst being on the physical plane, you know? So it's like, how do you, what kind of vehicle do you use to express that?
Yeah. Well, I've met some wonderful young women, especially here in the UK, who are very passionate Reiki practitioners, you being one of them, and it's so wonderful because I know that there is a whole generation that I actually don't know much about that is coming up, you know, is growing, and you know there are I would say, well, we can say tens of thousands of people who have had Reiki from when they were children.
Yeah.
Because their parents had Reiki and then they wanted to have Reiki and now they're 30 years old and they've had Reiki for 20 years. I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling for somebody like me who started at the age of 30 and am just completing, you know, a 30 years of real practice. Like I had it when I was a child, but I didn't practice it. So in my 30 years of practice, you will have had 30 years of practice by the time, you know, you're 40.
Yeah.
And that's just, or 50, and that's just kind of mind-boggling for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's really special. It's just incredible. I love it. And, you know, I've taught my son Reiki, and he's 8 now. Uh-huh. And I just, you know, he doesn't necessarily self-treat, but, I mean, he just completely is 100%, you know, with the Reiki energy. I think it's amazing. And I think there are a lot more people that are much more open to the work and coming to the work now. It's just, it feels like a really exciting time for me. And to, yeah, like I said, you know, the majority of my friends now are working with Reiki and they absolutely love it, you know, and it informs their life in different ways. And it's, you know, if people have come through it because their parents have it, that's incredible. But also, you know, for us to be able to take it to our parents.
Right.
That's amazing as well.
So. Yes, yes. And is that what happened with you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell me about that. If you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, my grandfather was like a GP, so my mum had quite a medical background and understanding. Uh-huh. So I think for her, it's just been quite an interesting experience watching her daughter kind of go on this journey that's necessarily in her power.
I can imagine.
So she just, you know, she gets the Reiki and she loves it. And I actually initiated her after I became a master. So I think she, you know, yeah, it just kind of works. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, who Tripuri actually taught, and she was talking about giving it to her grandma, and her grandma was like, oh, it's quite nice and warm, isn't it? And you know, that's amazing for me, you know, to be able to, just for as many people as possible to be able to access it, you know, because it's just such an incredible tool, and it should just be the foundation of, you know, of everything in my
life. Right. Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Well, I'm don't know if you can respond to this question. I'm not sure that I can get it really clear, but in the I'm 63 now, so you know, I was at the at my time, and as when I was 30, I was considered to be a rebel. And now I'm like in the Reiki world, I'm a little bit ultra conservative. It's just kind of a strange switch for me. because I see the world through my eyes, of course, and I'm conservative in the sense that I'd really loved the way the world was back when I was 30. And I found it a really wonderful, exciting place that had lots of promise. And it just seems like the viewpoint of a lot of media and so on is a kind of dismal picture of the world and its potential at this point. And I'm just wondering if that's true for you and your generation, or if you see it in 30-year-old eyes, which is more positive than mine.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I don't massively engage with the media. Uh-huh. So I don't know if I'm sort of, if I have the perspective that I have because of that, but I am really excited about the world right now.
And tell me why.
I just think it's an incredible time. You know, I think that it's an incredible time, and I think that we have access to, you know, incredible things, even just the way that technology's developed and just the speed that things are moving at. And, you know, where we were kind of 10 years ago just seems so different to where we are now. So I find it quite exciting. I find the movement exciting. I find the fact that a lot more, for me, it seems like a lot more people are waking up, a lot more people are becoming more self-aware, a lot more people are becoming more open to the possibilities that are on offer in terms of, you know, exploration. And sometimes I'm like, oh, is this just the world that I'm living in? And, you know, are these just the people that I'm coming across? And right. I don't, maybe that is the case, but I just, you know, for me right now, the people that I'm surrounded by and the kind of, you know, the kind of energy that I feel is available for me is just, yeah, infinitely exciting. That's where I feel like I'm at.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Seriously. You know, and we were in this generation where we were like trying to figure out if we should have children because the world was such a horrible place, right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that there are optimistic people in the world.
Sometimes I think as well, you know, I kind of went through that to a certain extent when I had my son. And I mean, I was quite young when I had my son. And I think, but even with children as well, I think that they bring this really sort of ceaseless optimistic kind of energy into the equation, you know, and he's just excited about everything. Everything is exploration. Everything is new. Everything is exciting. Everything is a new experience. You know, if he doesn't like something, that's fine. He'll leave that. He'll go elsewhere and look for different possibilities. And I think we have so much to learn from children, you know, and to learn in terms of the way that they facilitate the world as well. Because, you know, if we did a lot more of that, and just kind of seeking the positive and seeking the kind of optimistic perspective on things, I think we'd, I think we can grow in that way, you know, rather than, I think the media feeds us a lot of really depressing stuff. And I'm not sure that that's the whole truth on things.
Oh, I'm sure that it's not. I'm sure that it's not. And it's such a skewed perspective. And I really appreciate you bringing the value of children into our conversation. And I had this wonderful opportunity to meet your husband and your son on Sunday, which was just wonderful, very delightful, and he's a wonderful, wonderful human being, your son. So I really enjoyed him being there. You know, in the Native American sort of teachings that I've been involved with, the children's fire is one of the most important concepts that I took away from this teaching. You know, they teach that as long as the children's fire is burning, there is life in the tribe.
Yeah.
And this concept just, I mean, I just get teary thinking about it because there are so many times when I wonder if our children's fire, you know, is starting to get smaller and smaller. And it's just wonderful to see a young family be so vivacious and so alive. That's great. It's like fanning the flames of this fire for me.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think I see, you know, even the Reiki energy working within our kind of small unit as well. And, you know, and him kind of benefiting from that and kind of growing on that. And I'm like, sometimes I look at him and I'm like, I just have no idea where you're going, you know, and that, and that for me is really interesting because it's like, you know, it's difficult. I mean, I think it's easy to get pessimistic about the future, but the truth is that we just don't know, right?
Right.
And so sometimes I think, gosh, you know, what are you being prepared for? You're going to live in a world which I have no concept of ultimately right now. And that for me is just really fascinating. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, just watching that process is just really interesting. And, you know, I think seeing him have Reiki from such an, I mean, I had it when I was pregnant, and then, you know, he's just had so much of it growing up and been around a lot of people that have got it. And I think I see him so like his vital energy is just so up there,
right?
Sometimes it's a bit too much.
He's
bouncing around the place non-stop and it doesn't seem to end, but at the same time, you know, it's incredible, and I have to really, you know, I'm really, really grateful for that. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, lucky you're young, as they would say. So you can keep up with him. So I know that your family, you and your family just came back from Africa a short time ago, and I don't know if you can share with me and the listeners if you work in Africa and where you go. And I mean, it was just intriguing. So there was just this one little half sentence that caught my attention, and I'm wondering if you can help me out.
Well, my partner's from Burundi.
Where is that?
It's a small country in Central East Africa.
Central East Africa. Okay, I got it.
So it's like next to Rwanda and Congo, and
yeah.
They've had sort of quite a, you know, tricky political past.
Yes.
So he travels there a lot. And this last trip we didn't actually do together, but we have traveled there together as well. So he has projects going on there. And he's a musician. So he's just, he was recording an album there in December. So that's kind of his project and where he's at the moment. So, and with me, we're setting up a couple of different projects in Zanzibar, which is just next to Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in
I'm just laughing because Madagascar and Zanzibar were these words that were so exotic that I just remember them from my childhood.
Yeah, well, it is exotic. It's the most incredible place. It's just got the most amazing energy. And it's just absolutely beautiful. People call it the Paradise Island. It's just really, really stunning. So, so we've got a couple of projects in the pipeline there. And I don't want to say too much about them, but they're exciting.
Okay, wonderful. And so, is Reiki involved in that?
100%, definitely.
100%, oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good. It's good. It's really good. So we're excited about what's happening there.
That's
great. Yeah, we're just going to see how it all pans out.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And have you met other Reiki masters who live and work in Africa?
No, I haven't, but I would be absolutely, I'd just love to do that. So if you want to point me in the right direction.
Well, you know, I don't know if I can. I just remember this woman who was actually East Indian. She was from India, and she spent half the time in India and half the time in Nairobi. And she was a dynamo. And I met her at a Reiki Association meeting. Gosh, must be 8 years ago or something like that. And she really wanted me to come to Africa. And then I had the second degree student who's in Tanzania. And I was planning on going. And then I just realized that if I started to go to Africa, it would be another continent that I have always longed to go to. But I knew it would just open up this whole other field of work for me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it because I was trying to shrink my traveling rather than expand it.
Yeah.
And I just, it was a heartbreaking decision, I have to say, because, you know, this is kind of strange saying this, but to you, but anyway, right in the beginning of my Reiki mastership in like 1982 or three, I went to a transformational psychology conference in Davos, Switzerland. And I went with the first master that I initiated in Germany, Brigitte Müller. And there was a person there who came from Africa and talked about Africa as kind of the dark place and blah, blah, blah. And that if you go there, you'll meet this part of yourself and so on. And then it aroused at one point my sort of rebel self, because I didn't like the association of black always being this dark side thing. And at the same time, it just intrigued me because I realized I had all these stereotypes of Africa.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wanted to get rid of them. So I always nurtured this idea of going to Africa. Mm-hmm. And it never worked out. And then when I felt like the energy was building for me to go, I just really had to make a decision about my own welfare. And that was really difficult.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have a complete love affair with it. And I think that, you know, it's interesting for me because my dad is actually from the Caribbean. So It was kind of, I sort of ended up discovering it through one of my best friends from university and also then through my partner.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my experience is that it's very, very hot. So everything is in the heart, from the heart. There's like this real incredible simplicity around the energy. Right. And whenever I go there, it feels like just a huge kind of heart expansion. So even though I've traveled to places which are, you know, maybe tricky politically, or there's been, you know, perceived, you know, dark, I quite like to kind of go post-duality with that, but, you know, perceived dark stuff kind of happening and taking place, it's I don't know, the way that it's facilitated is just so incredible. It's like really humbling and really still within the heart, you know. It's like sometimes I find it a bit beyond words. It's not quite difficult to express, but I really encourage anybody to go, even if it's just for a short period of time, because I think it's, you know, from that oneness perspective and from the fact that we're all linked, I think it's almost quite difficult to understand sometimes our experience without having, in the West, without having that kind of understanding of Africa and the energy there and how profound it is. That, for me, is my kind of take on it, really.
Well, I totally accept it and heave a big sigh.
Yeah, we'll have to get you up.
Yeah, because it's hard for me to, it's like I think of it as a window. You know, if I open the window just a little, it just flies open and there's nothing that I can do to stop it in some way, because it's just the energy that happens. Like, yeah. So, and I've experienced this in lots of other places that I've gone.
Yeah.
So I just know that it will happen there, and maybe so strong that it's, you know, really not, I don't know, controllable is not quite the right word.
Yeah, but I'm just totally addicted. And when I come back,
but I'm so glad that people like you are going. That's wonderful. That's really, really great.
Yeah, no, I'm really grateful for that connection. Actually, it is. It's just, you know, I really love it out there. I really, really love it.
And I just remember there's a man that I met in Germany. He married a master that I initiated, oh gosh, 20 years ago or something. He's Nigerian, and he has a Reiki clinic in Nigeria somewhere, and has always, of course, wanted me to go down there. And he lived in the southern part of Germany, and, you know, went back and forth a lot. And I'll email you his name and
fantastic, that
and contact information, because that's, I mean, it's, I mean, you know, I know Africa is a really big place, but it's kind of in the same general vicinity.
Yeah, right. No, I just want to travel around as well, so I want to see as much as possible, and definitely to connect with any work that's happening out there. Completely great. Love to do that. So that sounds really good, definitely.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to come back, bring the conversation back kind of to the beginning. And I wonder, so you were initiated as a master just 2 years ago? Is that what I understood?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm in my second year.
And can you describe at all the feeling that you have about being a master, and what is that like for you? I don't, this is kind of a lame question, but I'll tell you what the background is. When I was just starting out as a master, I was 30 years old. And there were three or four other masters that my grandmother initiated who were around the same age. And then when we started to initiate masters and prepare masters, you know, somebody said, well, you have to be at least 30 years old. I don't have a clue where this idea came from. And I never adhered to it, actually. But in my head, you know, as a head idea. But I also saw that those people, there were a few people that I've initiated who were younger than 30, like in their 20s. And I saw that what was happening for them is that they were, they came into their mastery at kind of an interesting time in their life. I always think that when watching my stepchildren grow up and other children around me, I think that, you know, around that age in the late 20s, early 30s is when people really find themselves. It's certainly when I found myself by accident. And, you know, in being a Reiki master at that point, there's kind of an overflow or a flood of Reiki that I don't know if it hides this part, but it sort of could divert it in some way. And I'm just interested in how you feel about this process of finding yourself, and maybe this is finding yourself being a Reiki master.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a way, like, the whole process of finding myself has kind of been, the Reiki's been really integral to that journey. So I'm not sure really, okay, I can answer this.
Well, if you can't, that's totally understandable.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still trying to find my way with the mastery, and I'm still looking at how it fits with my life, what it means, how to translate it, how I want to manifest it, what my offering is. I'm still working with all of those things, you know, and I'll probably be working with them forever as well. So I don't think that, for me, it's not a point of arrival in any description. Like, it's more a continuation of the journey and a deepening of my path and my understanding of the Reiki, and almost like a deeper level of surrender as well to the Reiki facilitating my life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I'm working with it at the moment. And, you know, I'm still slightly awed by the fact that I can teach people Reiki. You know, every time I hold a Reiki 1 class, I'm like, wow, you know, this is incredible. And obviously the same with Reiki 2 as well. But I just, So I think I'm kind of still in that space with it all, which is, I just, and I, in a way I like that, you know, I like to be awed by what I do. And I feel like the Reiki will always do that for me. You know, it's just, it's that ever deepening path of exploration. And I absolutely love the connections that I have with people through it as well. So that's right. A beautiful aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like, yeah, that does that kind of answer it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, when I was first a Reiki master, this is how it's so different, maybe. Reiki was very small in the sense of numbers of people, awareness of, you know, energy work and so on, and acceptance of energy work. And so I thought when I was 32 that I would initiate like the 5,000 people that would be in the world that would be interested in Reiki that I would come in contact with. And then I'd have to find a new job. Well, now I see that that was, you know, like a misconception.
Yeah.
And your world is not like that. You know, that's not even a thought for you, I don't think.
Well, it's just really interesting. I think it is a thought in a way, but I'm like, what I find really fascinating is, you know, even when I learned years ago, it's like, it is just expanding at such a rate. You know, it's like now when you say what you do, it's like, oh yeah, oh, my aunt's sister does that, or my, you know what I mean? There's always like some kind of connection that people have with it. Oh, I remember so-and-so talking about that. Or
right.
You know, there seems to be, people have many more reference points for it. And I think it's much more present in people's lives.
Definitely.
As, mm-hmm. You know, yeah, when I got Reiki 1, it was like, what is she talking about? So it feels like I'm in a really different paradigm mm-hmm. where that's concerned. And, you know, and you come across people who are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. This is just not part of my world. And then you come across people who are completely open and really, you know, really ready and really receptive to that as a possibility. So I think, you know, I think we're moving, and I think it's just, you know, everybody's got different things going on, and people are ready for it and ready to accept it and embrace it at different points or not, you know?
Right. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Lizzie, it's just been wonderful speaking with you. I feel uplifted.
Oh.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great. I love your, go for it energy and your optimism and everything. I mean, it's wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It's just been a pleasure and an honor to talk to you. And yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.